Hello, I'm Clay Burrell, and it's the holiday season, 2007. The year's about to end. This year's seen a lot of talk about bullying and trying to stop it. And it just occurred to me that I have an old MP3 recording of a story I told from my own life to an English class, ninth grade, last year at my school. And it's been sitting on my hard drive. I want to share that story as my own little contribution to those who were bullied. It doesn't try to stop bullying as much as tell those of you who might be suffering it that life can turn out okay anyway. I hope you enjoy.
Where we're starting. Part of your homework is this. This is a blog assignment. This is a blog assignment. I want you to write on this. Did anybody hear about the story I told yesterday? You did? Okay, I told G for you a story yesterday, and I'm going to tell you a story too. It's called My Suicidal High School Years. Ah, darn, I ruined it. I was going to call it My Friend's Suicidal High School Years, but I just gave it away. And then at the end I was going to say, you know who the friend was? It was me. Because again, for your blogs, it is sometimes very wise to use the third person when talking about yourself so that you can be honest without revealing stuff you don't want to reveal. You can change things, you can make fact into fiction. All right, but I don't mind telling this story because it's actually a happy story, seen in a special way. I want you to blog on this. I'm even going to put an MP3 file of it on there, online, because I want you to think about this, and I really want you to blog about it thoughtfully. All right? So here's the story. When I was in ninth grade, I had never been a new student before. I went to first grade and I met a guy named Scott Ratchford. We walked home together on the first day of first grade. The second day of first grade, I met a guy named Gary Fleming. And me and Scott and Gary were best friends from the first week of first grade until grade 9, graduation from junior high. I had the same best friends for 9 years. I had never been new. I had never moved. I had known nothing but security and friendship for 9 years. I was popular. I played baseball. I played football. I played basketball. I had no enemies. I was a nice guy. I was kind of mean to one guy who was kind of weird. His name was David Martin.
And David was a very interesting person. Wow. His father was a military officer who spent time in Okinawa, Japan.
I grew up in Tennessee. You don't talk like that in Tennessee, because in Tennessee people are southern United States people who are kind of country redneck type. So David was an outsider. He was kind of like the Tomkeys in Us and Them. And I made fun of him because David trusted me. And in front of my jock friends, my baseball player friends in like seventh grade, David trusted me and I knew I could get a laugh out of him. About him by saying this. David, will you tell them that Shaquille O'Neal is the quarterback for the New England Patriots? God, they're so stupid. And David said, of course, because he trusted me.
Shaquille O'Neal is the quarterback for the New England Patriots.
And of course, he's not. Shaquille O'Neal's a basketball player. So I was setting David up, making fun of him. And everybody, and we all laughed. Me and my friends laughed at David. And David was an idiot. And he felt like an idiot. And I'm sure he hates me to this day for being such a jerk. Trying to be cool to my friends and not really thinking about how I was making David feel. All right. But that's not the story. The story is that besides that one thing, I can't think of any time that I was not a pretty nice guy from grade 1 to 9. I got in a fight every year, but my fights were always taking up for people who were being picked on by bullies. And I'd come up and say, leave them alone. And they'd say, oh yeah, what, are you gonna do something about it? And I wasn't big, but I would still say, yeah, I'll do something about it. And then normally I'd get my butt kicked. They'd win the fight, but I would fight. I lost as many as I won, maybe lost more than I won. But I did fight every year, but it was for the guy who's getting picked on, who won't take up for himself. I was a pretty nice guy. So.
Now here I have to interrupt my story and simplify it a little bit to leave out some private details. The story is this. The school that I went to that I've been telling you about was almost an inner city school. The population was racially mixed. White people were only about 50% of the population. That school ended at ninth grade. There was no high school. So I had to go to a different high school. The high school I was zoned for was an inner city school. The population of that school was underprivileged and, for the most part, non-white. So my family moved to an all-white privileged suburb in order for me to be able to go to what was considered a better school. The population at this school was 100% white. Now we can return to the story.
I told you, I played football, I played basketball, I played baseball. I'm a new kid. I've never been new in my life. In ninth grade, I graduated. I was voted most popular. Okay, because I was popular. I had, the baseball team was my friend. The basketball, I quit basketball because I was short, I was white, I was no good. So I quit basketball in eighth grade. I was lousy at basketball and I hate it to this day. Notice I'm giving you a speech right now. When I start assigning you guys speeches, I don't want you standing up saying, when I was in ninth grade, I want you to talk to us, all right? Anyway, sorry for the side note. I quit basketball, but I played baseball, I played football. I was not very good at football because in American football, you have to like to hurt people. You have to have a killer instinct, and I never did have one. I just didn't like it. I didn't get it yet. Now I get it. Now I wish I could go back and I would just destroy people and have fun because it's a sport. It's okay. But back then, I didn't get it. I was too nice, too gentle. In baseball, I was good. I made all-city in ninth grade because I was fast. I could hit a grounder. You know what a grounder is? Right? It's a ball that doesn't go out of the infield. You hit it, and it just bounces on the ground. A guy catches it and throws it to first base, and you're out. Well, I could outrun a grounder to first base. I batted 400% base hits because I could outrun the throw to first. I was fast. I could get base hits by bunting. All right, so I was an athlete. And I go to my new school, all white people. Good Southern Christian white people. In America, in Tennessee anyway, football season begins at the beginning of the school year. Because football is so important in American culture, notice, if I were writing for an Arabian Nights story, I'm telling you about American culture. Not only American culture, but Southern American culture. Notice the details. You are learning about the culture I grew up in this story. Your stories will have to show your culture. Notice that. All right, so football practice was so important to Southerners that it started 3 weeks before the school year began. It was called two-a-days. You had football practice in the morning and the afternoon every day, Monday through Friday, 3 weeks before school ever started. So my first day of school was not going to school, going into the building. My first day of school was going to the locker room for the football team, putting on the football pads, with all these guys I don't know, ready to make friends because I was most popular in my junior high, and here I am, and I know how to make friends. So then I go to the locker room, and the first guy I come up to, I'm like, you know, we've lived there all summer. I'm like, oh, you have to realize. Remember when you were in eighth grade and you saw seniors? What do seniors look like to an eighth grader? They look like adults, don't they? Especially athlete seniors. Picture a fifth grader seeing Patrick. Picture a fifth grader seeing you and Suk. You guys are like grown-ups. You and Suk, I thought you were 25 when I saw you, all right? You and Suk, you could be like an executive right now. You already look like an adult. I did not go to a high school. I was not used to hanging around 18-year-old boys who lifted weights, took steroids, and bodybuilt, and were massive. I went to a school where in ninth grade, you were like the biggest guy around. And suddenly I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to play football with grown-ups. A little scary. But it's okay because I was most popular. I was a nice guy. I only fought jerks, except for the day. So I walked up to the first guy. He was the linebacker, I found out. And he was a scary guy. Linebackers in American football are the most violent, killer people. They are the people who are the most psycho. They have to enjoy breaking bones. Linebackers. So I walked up to a guy, I didn't know he was a linebacker, but I'm nice, I'm new, I want friends. So I walk up and I go, hey, hi, what's your name? I'm Clay. His name was Bart Hicks. Bart's response was, BAM! Into my shoulder. Sorry, Sharon. And he put a huge knot on my shoulder. Sorry, Sharon, that was scary. I'm sorry, you okay? Okay. That is exactly how it happened, though. Scary, wasn't it? He put a huge knot on my shoulder. That was like, I thought my shoulder was broken. And I didn't understand why, this guy I'd never seen in my life just punched me that hard. And I was scared because he looked like a grown-up. And I didn't feel like a grown-up. I felt like a ninth grader plus a day. And so, well, you know, what are you going to do if somebody does that to you? You're going to walk to your locker, really confused and scared, going, why do I feel like this guy just broke my shoulder? And I was just trying to make a friend. He doesn't know me. I don't even know his name. Why did he do that to me? It happened to every single guy on the football team, 20, 25 guys, that I introduced myself to. They didn't all punch me in the shoulder, but none of them were nice. And I could not understand why, because I really had done nothing. I didn't know anybody. It was my first day. And it went on and on and on. Well, I finally found out why. What do you think? Nope. Sort of? Yep. Too nice? Nope. No, that's a good one. It wasn't tradition. Okay, you know how in every group there's like the leader of the group? Come on, think about it. Here at this school, you got like the leader of the popular girls, the leader of the popular boys, right? The alpha male, the alpha female, the top primate, the top monkey, the top ape, the top dog. Well, here, on our football team, the guy's name was Greg Humphreys. And Greg Humphreys was only a junior, but as a sophomore, he had A, become the state champion wrestler. As a sophomore, he was the best wrestler in my state, which is a large state. As a sophomore, he set state records as a rusher in football, as a halfback. He ran more yards than anybody in the history of the state of Tennessee as a sophomore. Why? Because he lifted weights a lot, and he also took steroids to make his muscles and power even bigger. He took drugs to make himself a better athlete. Those things that people now are getting like kicked out of the league for, he was doing in 1977, when I was new at this school. Greg Humphreys was his name. He looked like a god. He didn't only look like an adult, he looked like a Greek god. Massive, Michelangelo's David, muscles, sculpted body, very handsome, sort of stupid, barbaric, but handsome face. The girls loved him, and I swear I believe deep down inside that so did every one of the boys on the football team love him, because they wanted to be just like him, because he was the coolest, and they wanted to be cool too. So they would do anything they could to please Greg Humphreys. And Greg Humphreys hated me. Now, why? Greg Humphreys had a girlfriend. Now, why? Come on. Good. Not only did she like me, she knew me 4 years earlier. When I was in sixth grade, I met her at the mall in sixth grade, the first year of puberty, when guys finally start realizing, hey, girls are not actually gross and full of germs. They're actually kind of cute. And you start getting crushes at the mall. And you go to co-ex and you look for girls and with your buddies, and you try to meet them. And you try to meet them. Hey, let's all go up and follow those girls. So Kim McCord, she was the first one, sixth grade. And Kim McCord liked me, and I liked her. She looked like Olivia Newton-John. You don't know her. She was the Britney Spears of my generation. I looked like Donny Osmond. You don't know him, but he was the Rain of your generation. Now, so this is so stupid. We were sixth grade lovers. We met at the mall. Boyfriend and girlfriend. We met at the mall like once a month when our parents would give us bus money to go there, you know? And we would meet at the mall and sit at the fountain for like 2 hours and hold hands and like say stupid sixth grade things. But we talked every night on the phone, every single night. Parents are asleep. They don't know I'm sneaking into the phone room and talking in a whisper to Kim. And Kim and I talk on the phone until 2 in the morning and 3 in the morning, and then we fall asleep on the phone instead of hanging up. And then we wake up, one of us, and they're like, are you still there? Are you still there? And the other one goes, oh, yes, I am. Hello, I love you. Oh, I love you too. And you're 12, and your voice hasn't even changed yet. And you don't have a single hair on your armpit. But this is 12-year-old love, right? Kim loved me and I loved her. That was sixth grade. Well, hey, it's 10th grade now. Kim found out that I had moved to her school. He tells her boyfriend, the Greek god. The Greek god says, I don't like him because he was my girl's boy in sixth grade. And so all he has to do is say, I don't like him. And all the other followers, jocks, football players, basketball players, baseball players, wrestlers, who want to be famous, popular, but more importantly, accepted by the top guy, the leader, because they were all followers. If Brett Humphries didn't like me, neither did any one of them. And that's why they were all punching me. I didn't do anything. Except like follow a girl at the mall 4 years ago. And so, 2 years later, it was still happening. All of 10th grade was like that. All of 11th grade was like that. In 11th grade, I was so depressed. My GPA, I was making B's. Now, in college, I graduated top 5% of my university, Phi Beta Kappa. It's an honorary thing. You have to work really hard to get Phi Beta Kappa. In college, I showed my intelligence. But in high school, I was too busy doing this sort of thing. Setting the record for my 12th grade year and skipping school. I had the most absences of all the students in my school in 12th grade. I set a record. Greg Humphrey set a record rushing the football. I set a record being absent because I hated school that much. Because every day I went to school and I was alone. I had no friends because everybody was afraid to be my friend because then they wouldn't be cool. And so I would go from class A to class B through the courtyard, and of course there's the football team, and they all hang out together, because to be cool, you gotta hang out together. That shows you're popular. And so 15 guys would be sitting on the wall, and they'd go, hey faggot, queer, gay. And I'm like, what are they talking about? I had Brett Humphries' girlfriend before he did. 4 years before he did. I got her first, what are they talking about? They know I'm not gay. What's going on here? But no, I wasn't that comfortable because I was 15, I was 16. And instead what I was doing was going to art class. And for my art project, you know what I drew and handed it? It wasn't a drawing, it was a block print. My art project, I handed it into my teacher, she gave it a grade and gave it back to me, and you know what was on it? A picture of a guy hanging from a noose. That was my art project. A guy hanging from the ceiling who committed suicide. That's what I handed to my teacher. Hello, cry for help. And what did my teacher do? B minus. And give it back to me. What a scum. What a scumbag of a teacher to do that. I went to school for 2 years of this kind of treatment. And not a single adult ever said, hey, you got any problems? I noticed that you're like, you know, showing, I don't know, you're like writing poems about slitting your wrists and drawing pictures of yourself hanging from the ceiling dead. Any problems you want to talk about? Not a single teacher. Now, so my grades went down. I graduated the lowest third of my class because I was too busy just trying not to kill myself. I scored the highest SAT score in my high school, but my grades were the lowest third. Now, funny thing happened. In 11th grade, Greg Humphries is gone now, remember, because he was an upperclassman, so he graduated, thank God. The Greek god, the guy who could, like, break me in half. He's gone. So I don't have to, he was the one I was afraid of. So was Bar Hicks, the linebacker. They both graduated. These other guys, they're like my age. I'm not scared of them. Remember, I got in fights every year from grade 1 to 9. And there's one I really hate, Dwayne Hines. Because Dwayne Hines went out for second base also. And I still played sports. I didn't quit. It's just nobody talks to me. Dwayne Hines played second base and so did I. He had buck teeth. He had no chin. He was slow. He was ugly and he was slow. But the coach also had buck teeth, no chin, and was pretty stupid. And the coach liked Dwayne because I'm sure he looked at Dwayne and he said, he reminds me of me when I was a kid. I'm going to take care of him. And so when I went out for second base against Dwayne, tryout for varsity, and you know, they do the thing, they hit grounders and see how you can catch a ball and throw. They throw batting practice, see how you can bat. They have you run laps around the bases to see who's faster. I'm doing everything. I swear, God, confirm it. I'm doing everything better than Dwayne Hines. Running around the bases, I was so much faster than him. He knew it. He would grab me and pull me back and throw me behind him so he wouldn't lose. And he got second base varsity and I didn't. So I kind of hated him because I deserved it. I was better. But I had a chin, and the coach didn't like me. Because the coach wanted to be cool too, I think. So one day, Dwayne Hines and I got into it in the cafeteria, and we got into a fight. The end of 11th grade. And there was blood in the cafeteria, in the middle of lunch. Blood all over the place. We were crashing across tables, all sorts of stuff. Somebody broke us up. He won. Somebody broke us up, took us to the principal. We got suspended. At the end of the suspension, I come back. There's all the jocks, the in crowd, them. I'm sorry, no, I guess they were us, and I was them. I was Tommy. And guess what happens when I see them after being suspended? And I'm walking from one place to the other, and there they all are, sitting in their little group, their little herd, their little flock. Herd animals on the wall. We're really cool as long as we're together, but we're afraid to be alone and individuals. What do when they see me this time? I've just fought them. What do? Don't you know psychology? Don't you know how crowd mentalities are? What do you think they did this time that was different from the last 2 years? They talked. They said, "Hey, Burrell, come on, man, join us for lunch." For 2 years, every single day, I had been drawing pictures of dead people, dying, suicidal people. I had been writing poems about it. I did make a couple of friends. They were misfits. They were outsiders. Country boys, mountain boys, guitarists, singers, campers, nature boys. not athletes, not popular people, the people nobody knew. I'm still friends with them today. They're the really interesting ones. For 2 years, I've been wanting to just have friends and be popular. Not popular, just heck, unbothered, not persecuted, not picked on. And what happens? They say, "Hey, Burrell, come join us, have some lunch." What would you say to them? Huh? Really?
No.
Why wouldn't you say okay? Because they made me feel alone for 2 years, and now they're saying, "Join us, be part of our crowd, be part of the popular crowd." And I looked at them and I said, "To hell with you, what are you talking about? Why would I want to be part of your group? You guys are jerks, I still think that. If you want to fight again, we'll fight, but you're jerks." But I guess we didn't have much problems after that anyway. But the thing that really made me sick was, Greg Humphreys, the guy who started all this, went to church every Sunday. He wore a cross around his neck. Everybody talked about what, and he himself talked about, what a good Christian he was. He was the darling of the community. Oh, good Christian boy. And look what he and his little crowd, I went to church too, and I would see all these guys at church. And they were all so good because they went to church. But look what they were doing the other 6 days of the week. I don't think Jesus would have cared for it. If you're not Christian, I don't think Confucius, Buddha, Muhammad, or anybody else, or Socrates, would have cared for what they were doing. They weren't good people. They were not good people. But everybody just loved them because they went to church. That means they're good. I say that because Lindsay Lee has been, he wrote a poem that kind of offended me. By saying that, well, Christians, she said something like, "You know, Christians aren't like that. I know many good Christians. I think I'm one." By the way, I'm a very weird Christian. No, I'm not weird. I'm individual. Because I thought about it. I know many good Christians. I know many bad Christians. And it's based on what they do the other 6 days of the week, not on where they go for 2 hours on Sunday. And there was Greg Humphreys.
Here I have to interrupt again to just talk about another reason I was telling this story, which is that there was a student who in his blog was insulting non-athletes and talking about how they were losers because they weren't on the basketball team. And at this point, I'm just telling my students why I'm telling them this story. So here's that story.
Daniel wrote a forum entry that he has deleted now because I told him to, after chewing him out with my comment. Because he called people that didn't play sports losers and nerds or geeks or something. And said, "There's nobody cooler than a guy who can shoot a basketball through a hoop with the clock running out." And I tore into him. I was like, "Daniel, This is the most simple-minded thing I have ever read, and I can't believe it's coming out of you, but you have a good mind. You've shown that all first semester. Are you really telling me that a guy that can take a ball and put it through a hoop is greater than a guy who can write a symphony? A guy who can discover the cure to cancer? A guy who can write a great poem? Yada, yada, yada. You get the point. Don't insult people on your journal. Don't insult people on your blog. You'll hear from me. Daniel's cool. He was like, I was like, Daniel, did you read it? And he was like, yeah. I was like, I'm sorry I tore into you, but you see why? He's like, yeah, it's okay. So I like Daniel. The end of the story. Guess what happened to Greg Humphreys? He graduated. Hey, life goes on after school. He married my little sister. My little sister is 4 years younger than me, Tony. Tony is dangerously, dangerously beautiful. No, Tony. T-O-N-I. Tony is dangerously beautiful, she was. He was in eighth grade, and this scumbag 12th grader had a crush on her because she was even beautiful and overdeveloped. Too mature at eighth grade. And he married her and became my brother-in-law. Okay. Now, here's my last comment. Why is this a good story? I told you this is a good story. A happy ending. What do you think the happy ending is? Huh? Irony is not happiness, but thank you for trying. What? Anybody want to predict? I became friends with these jerks? No. Okay, here it is. These guys who thought that they were God's gift to the world because they could do something with a ball during a game. Hey, I like sports. They're fun. But for crying out loud, I don't get nearly the rush out of a rugby, football, basketball, or baseball game than I do out of a David Sedaris sports story, which I go back to and back to and back to. I don't think history remembers most basketball players. We like them for as long as they're alive, and then we forget them because there's always a new crop of basketball players. A few live, but it's one out of 1,000. Wilt Chamberlain, Shaquille, Michael Jordan. But think of all the other thousands that we've forgotten. It's hard to go down in history as an athlete. It's hard to go down in history as a lot of things. Anyway, I'm glad that this all happened to me, because if I had gone and fallen in with this group of guys who thought that the idea of a good life is hanging out in the crowd or you're too scared to do the right thing, not ever did a guy come up to me from any sports team and say, hey man, I know what people are doing to you. I see it every day. I see them yelling names at you in crowds where you can't fight 12 people. I see it, and it's wrong. And I got the ball. I got the courage to be your friend. Not once did that happen. And I'm so glad that it didn't, because if I had become one of them, would I have traveled 24 countries? Would I have lived in the old world, Germany, the new world, America, the oldest world, China, Korea? And stay tuned, because I'll live in other countries before I die. But I've traveled 24 countries so far. But I've become the weird, eccentric, unique person that I am if I had joined a crowd. No. Instead, they made me anti-crowd. They made me a tomty. And I buried myself in books and other forms of mountain climbing, mental, for the next 25 years. And I'm still doing it. I'm an individual, thank God, because a group didn't let me be a group person. That's why it's a happy story. Postscript, end of story coming. You will not believe how fun it is, especially if you are one of those people like the Tomkins, like me, who suffered the cruelties of the cool people. You cannot imagine how fun it is to go to your high school reunion. You're going to graduate high school. You'll be the class of what, 2010? Picture yourself, whatever, picture yourself 2020, your 10-year class reunion. You all get to go and see what happened to everybody that you went to school with. And it's fun. And I go. And all those guys that were so cool, the kings of the high school, you know what they're doing now? They've never left America. They don't have jobs they love They don't have books, composers, whatever that they love. They don't have. What do? They sell cars at the. Maybe they own a car dealership. Maybe they sell cars there. Maybe they own a Family Mart. But most of them have never left my hometown. And it's really fun to go back and say, hey, I thought you were going to be a pro baseball player. What are you doing selling cars? What are you doing like working in the Family Mart? Somebody said revenge. In a sense, that is. In a sense, that's revenge. Well, that's a little bit rude. But I can't help but say they kind of deserve it because of the kind of people they were in high school. It kind of makes me happy to this day to go and see that they turned into nothing. And I'm certainly not a great man. But I've had a much more interesting life, and they're a little bit jealous now. That's the end of the story.
I used the F word yesterday when I told the story. I'm glad I avoided it today.
Okay, so there you have it. I apologize for the bad sound, but that's the best I can do. And really, again, I hope that this is something that can help, not anybody really, but somebody who needs to hear it, and it's probably not a teacher. Because life really, really does turn out funny ways sometimes. The things that are bad for you when they happen turn out to be good for you later. I believe that, and I hope it helps some of you believe that too. And I hope you look forward to a good new year. And thanks all of you. I'm Clay Burrell. I blog at beyond-school.org. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.